right. It's great to see all of you here tonight. We are going to finish up this evening in the book of Colossians, where we've been studying for several weeks. I don't know about you, but I have enjoyed the studies in the book of Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, and then we'll begin Sunday night on Philemon, which is only one chapter, and it is another of the letters that Paul wrote. But this evening, as we begin once again in Colossians chapter 4, in his final greetings in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 4, he is going to give a list of people that have been meaningful to his ministry, and as they have been fellow workers with him, and as some of them have come alongside him to help comfort him during this period of time in his life. Now, the Bible says that a man who has friends must show himself friendly. And so the Apostle Paul certainly was one of those kind of people. We see the men who stayed with him. Now, this group that he's going to refer to are three Jews. He'll speak about Aristarchus. He'll speak about John Mark. He'll speak about Jesus Justus. And then he'll speak about here one Gentile, Luke. And all of these were characterized by their faithfulness to the Apostle Paul in his time of special need. And these are the ones who stayed with him. Now he speaks about Tychicus. He is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. He's mentioned in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 21. He's mentioned in Acts chapter 20 and verse 4. He's mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Now, notice as we look at these particular ones here, he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, notice faithful minister. What do you think of when you think of faithfulness? Anybody out there? When you think of somebody that's faithful, what do you think of? Loyal. What? Steadfast. All right. Anybody else? These certainly were loyal, steadfast people. Yes, back there, Peggy. Being true, yes. These people were tried and true friends who were loyal, who were truthful, who stood by the Apostle Paul during his great time of need. It says, Tychicus, a beloved brother. Notice Tychicus, a beloved brother, that word brother there referring to, he is a Christian brother in the faith. He's faithful. He has ministered. And notice it says, a fellow servant in the Lord will tell you all the news about me. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, he is in prison. He has not been here to Colossae. He's not been to Rome. But yet, all over the Roman Empire, Paul had converts all over the Roman Empire. You'll know that God had called the Apostle Paul specifically to the Gentile nation, even though there were Jewish converts. He was bringing this mystery of the gospel, which included the Gentiles, anyone that was not Jewish in their ethnicity, in their Jewishness. And Paul was sent to bring the good news of the gospel to the Gentile world. And so we see there that Tychicus here, who is the pastor at Ephesus, Paul says, will tell you all the news about me. It's grateful whenever we as Christians keep up with people in our congregation that have needs in their life. Many of them have needs. Now, oftentimes, I do not mention names from the pulpit since we are on the internet now. And since we're on YouTube now, and because there are people that do not want their names mentioned, I have refrained from mentioning names unless it deals with a bereaved situation of a funeral service. So please understand that's why we are not mentioning names from the pulpit about our people who are sick. You can find those on the Wednesday night prayer list. And if you are a part of the prayer team that gets a prayer request throughout the day, then you're going to know who these people are. And so we try to keep up faithfully praying for these ones in our congregation who have special needs, or people that they know who have special needs. And I'm grateful that Paul had a group around him that cared enough for him that they were still being faithful, even though he was behind prison bars and he was still leading people to Christ. In verse 8, he said, I'm sending him, speaking of Tychicus, to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. Tonight, I want you to just think with me all over the world, people whose hearts need to be comforted. If you've listened to news as of late, I think there were five children maybe in Oklahoma City, and a mother that was murdered. And then in Tulsa, I think there were two children and a mother who was also killed. And you just go down the list, and there are people everywhere that need the comforting peace of God. And that certainly should enable within each one of our hearts a special prayer for the comfort that these people need in times like these. And then in verse 9, he comes to a name called Onesimus. Onesimus, he was the slave of Philemon. You may call it Philemon. I've heard those pronounced all various ways, so you can choose your pronunciation. I'll probably refer to him as Philemon. And of course, this will be the other book that we will look at starting Sunday evening. Onesimus, he was a slave. He was a slave to a guy named Philemon. And notice what he says here with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. This slave brother has now become a Christian. He's been led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul, who also led Philemon, his slave owner, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what the book of Philemon is going to be about, receiving this runaway slave back into Philemon's household. And Paul will write to him a personal letter to tell him how he should treat this person, which certainly brings a practical application on how we are to treat people and how we are certainly to treat our brothers and sisters in Christ. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. And then he moves in verse 10 to Aristarchus. Now this man is identified as Paul's fellow prisoner and fellow worker. Aristarchus was from Macedonia. He was one of Paul's traveling companions. He was originally from Thessalonica, and willingly he risked his life down there in that Ephesian riot, and he sailed with Paul to Rome, which meant he also experienced the storms and the shipwreck that Luke graphically describes in the book of Acts in chapter 27. Aristarchus stayed with Paul no matter what the circumstances were, whether there was a riot in Ephesus, a voyage, a storm, or even there in prison. Now, it's not likely that Aristarchus was an official Roman prisoner, but it says fellow prisoner probably means that he shared Paul's confinement with him during that time so that he could be a help and a comfort to the apostle. And so he was a voluntary prisoner for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the gospel. Now, Paul could never have accomplished all the things that he accomplished had it not been for these who stayed with him, for these who ministered with him, for these who helped to take care of the flock, for these who were engaged and reached out and became faithful helpers of the Apostle Paul, realizing that Paul could only do what Paul could do. He was only one individual, and he could only absolutely do what he could do here. Aristarchus, he says, my fellow prisoner greets you with Mark. Remember John Mark? His mother Mary, she opened her home up for church. And he says, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, they were relatives, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. If you'll remember that Paul, on that first missionary journey that he and Barnabas took together, they took John Mark, who was a cousin of Barnabas. And if you'll remember, after that first missionary journey, or during that time, for whatever reason, Mark left the team. And that didn't set well with the Apostle Paul. And so on the second missionary journey, Paul didn't want to take him. If you'll remember, then there were two teams that went out, that God could take and use two teams rather than the one that was there. And so he mentions John Mark here, and he would be the one that would write the book of Mark in the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels. And notice he says in verse 11, and Jesus, who is called Justice. The word Jesus there was a Jewish name. Comes from the Hebrew word Joshua. Justice is a Roman name. That was not uncommon in first century Christianity during those Roman days, living there in Asia Minor in the Roman Empire. There were many Jews that had Jewish names but also had Roman names. Many of them involved in the Roman cities, walking in on the Roman streets, living under Roman rule. And so he mentions Injustice, or Jesus, who is called Justice. Now we certainly don't know anything about him other than what's recorded, and he certainly epitomizes the person in life that is faithful, that doesn't do what they do so that others can see what they do. But let me tell you, God rewards them and will reward them someday openly. It says, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision, and that deals with the Jewish ones. And so he speaks about these that have been Jews there. They have proved to be a comfort to me. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Now I want you to think for just a minute. What if everybody had left the Apostle Paul? What if some of these, once he got in prison, what if they had just turned their backs on him and walked away? Paul could have never accomplished what he accomplished. I think oftentimes we fail to realize how very important they were in the ministry, and how they reached out and how they helped him, which was a great responsibility that they were called to do as well. And then we come to verse 12. He talks about Epaphras. Epaphras here, he is going to be a great prayer partner. He's going to be one of those guys that will be praying earnestly. He's the pastor of the church at Colossae, here in Colossians. And notice it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. Notice, I am sure that these others were prayer people as well. But Paul doesn't mention anything about prayers when he identifies them and speaks about them, other than their fellow workers and fellow prisoners, in the sense that they're there to help comfort him and to carry out the needs. But notice he does when it comes to Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, always laboring fervently for you in prayers. I was reading just this week, in one of the commentaries that I was reading on this passage of scripture, that a young minister had met with some kind of accident, and he was no longer able to continue on in pastor a church, and he was very, very despondent. He was very discouraged, very disheartened, very depressed. And one of these commentaries talked about how that they had written him a note and said, "Why don't you try being a prayer partner for me?" That God has removed you out of that position, but there are other ministries out there as well. Every person of this church could be a prayer warrior, could be a prayer partner. You see, it takes passion within. It takes the want to. It takes, E.M. Bounds that wrote his book on prayer. E.M. Bounds, a great prayer evangelist of many years ago, E.M. Bounds, let me tell you, he would start his day 2 or 3 hours before he ever went to work, and he would pray earnestly. I wonder what would happen today in America if every church that have Christian people would commit themselves to hours of prayer. I wonder what the atmosphere would be in the America that you and I live in. So many of us, we pray, but we are not laboring. We are not agonizing as this precious one did here, Epaphras. Notice he said he's laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know what he was praying? He was praying that the people in the church of Colossae, that they would know the will of God, but that they would do the will of God. You and I cannot just be hearers of the word. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to do it. It's another thing to act on it. Someone was sharing with me today some particular problems they were going through. And I said, you know, it's one thing to pray, but you got to put feet to your prayers. You've got to do for you what you can do, and then turn it over to God to do the rest. Well, notice Epaphras was a great, great prayer warrior. Paul says in verse 13, "For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those who are in Laodicea and those in Hierapolis." It's amazing that Paul, throughout his lifetime, once he met Christ on the Damascus Road, that he never gave up, he never gave in, he just persevered. He kept on keeping on in that Roman world. He knew people in cities everywhere because he had led people to Christ. And those people, once they met Paul, and they heard him preach and they received Christ, they went back to their own cities and they began to witness to people. Did you realize in first century Christianity 2,000 years ago, people did not meet in buildings like you and I meet in today? Let me tell you, there were all kinds of heathen, pagan temples that were out there, and there were certainly some here in Laodicea and Hierapolis. There were heathen, pagan places where people worshiped in all kinds of heathenism and paganism. But did you know for the first 200 years of the early church, guess where they met? They met in homes. They met in homes. I read an article today that said, I wouldn't be surprised if that doesn't become the thing that will happen one of these days. You know, you and I are very blessed and very fortunate at this particular moment in time that we are able to worship freely. Let me tell you, tonight in China, they cannot. They have to do the religion of the state. Only what is mandated by the state can they do in their religious worship services. Otherwise, they will be thrown into prison. They will be persecuted for their faith. That's why there's so many underground churches. They have to hide to do their religion. I don't know what will happen here in America. I am somewhat alarmed about what I'm seeing. and what we are experiencing, and people that are right now being persecuted for what they believe that the Bible teaches that goes contrary-wise to popular opinion in societal culture today. Let me tell you, folks, we may come to a place and a time where we are challenged, where we stand for what God says is true and right, or do we cave in to societal pressures? And it's absolutely amazing if you keep up with all of these things that are happening. And then notice what he said in verse 14, Luke. Luke is the guy who is probably the only Gentile who penned words of Scripture under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Did you realize there are 66 books in the Bible? There are 39 in the Old Testament. Those are all Jewish. There are 27 in the New Testament. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, also wrote the book of Acts, and he was a Gentile. He's a doctor. Now I want you to notice what Paul says about Luke. The beloved physician. He says the beloved physician. Can you only imagine? Paul was so blessed that he had this doctor around him. Now, Paul had performed miracles. Paul had been given power to perform miracles of healing. There were all kinds of things that happened. But Luke was a doctor, a physician. And let me tell you, they were held in high regard in that day. They were held in high regard because the Greeks were huge when it came to medicine and perfecting things in their day. He said, Luke, the beloved physician, notice, has been with him. Don't you know it was a great comfort for him to have his own doctor be around him, to be with him? I hear people all the time say, I can't even get in to see my doctor. I hear that all the time. Luke was so thankful. He said, here, and then notice, and Demas greets you. If you'll remember, three times we're told about Demas. He was a worker with Paul. But later on, he says, Demas forsook him. We don't know why. It was the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world, the flesh, the devil. But there would come a moment in time when Demas, who had been with Paul, would forsake him and walk away. But here he mentions Demas, greet you. And then in verse 15, he says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas and the church that is in his house. The church that is in his house. And so we have this great catalog. We have this great listing of these fellow workers who were with Paul and to help him. And then he gives in verses 16, 17, and 18, he gives this closing exhortation and blessing. Now, when this epistle, and that word means letter, is read among you, when Paul would write these letters were read. They didn't have a copy. Everybody didn't have a copy of this letter. It would be read in the church, and then it would be read in some of the other Asia Minor churches that would be all the way around that area where these churches had been planted. Now, when this letter or epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Some think that he's referring there as well to the Ephesians letter. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. Now, a lot of people start out, you know, full spurt. And then like Demas, somewhere along the way, they fall away. And so he gives this exhortation and this blessing. And then as he always did in verse 18, this salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. And so he writes these wonderful words of encouragement to the churches. He writes these words of admonition and exhortation. He writes these practical words of application in the Christian life, as well as debunking false doctrines that are trying to infiltrate the church. He writes chapters about doctrinal issues and that Christ is the head of the church. And Paul certainly, had it not been for his salvation experience, where would we be in the New Testament without the wonderful Holy Spirit penning about a third of the New Testament, at least, from the hands of the Apostle Paul. God bless you. Thank you for being here this evening. Hope you will be back on Sunday morning. And please be safe. Would you stand as we pray together tonight? Father God, thank you for these that have gathered here this evening, these that have listened virtually to this Bible study tonight. Thank you for what we have learned as we look at these prison epistles. God bless us as we leave this place tonight. God keep each one safe. Bring them back safely on Sunday morning, I pray. And Father, encourage them, enrich their lives through Bible study, Father, through worship, and through our prayer lives and through our testimonies to others and planting seeds of the gospel in the hearts of those we come in contact with. For it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.